Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Got to Know WebSphere Partner Gateway User Support Guide. Today's presenter is Aichi Boudreau. Aichi joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway US L2 team in November 2006. She brought experience from AIX and LAN server technical support and AIX IBM Director and Storage Area Network Testing. She is certified as AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional Plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Aichi.
Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you for coming to our first technical exchange of year 2010. When I work with WPT customers, I have received feedback about not having beginner's guide, introduction type of presentation for users right after the purchase of WPT software. This presentation was developed to help new users to have a sound understanding of what is available from WPT Support Center, so you can have a smooth learning curve into being a more mature user. On slide number 2, the agenda of this presentation is we will start with the WPG support page. This is one major portal you will use when it comes to skills, knowledge about WPG product, and communication with WPG support staff. Next, I will focus on the more essential tools from the support page. After that, some important support terminologies will be reviewed. Finally, we will talk about the end of support information. Slide number 3. Let's start with the WPG support page. This is like a portal for you to enter the mega web pages of WPG information. On slide number 4, from the browser search, enter IBM support portal, and next choose IBM support from the search result. Please note, starting January 6th of 2010, we will have a new face of WPG support page. In this presentation, I have brought out all the new pages, so you will be accustomed to how the new look. If you go to the web search today, since it's before January 6th, you might still get the old pages. But I have refreshed all the pages in this presentation with the new pages, so you should have the latest look. Next, you will enter WebSphere and the specific edition of WPG product. You will notice that in this presentation, I try not to give you a static link, and instead, I'll guide you through the internet on how to find the information. Because if I provide static links, they can possibly change in the future. But if you know how to look for them on internet, you're much better prepared in accessing the WPG information. On slide number 5. This is the WPG support page, and I often like to use the term treasure chest to describe WPG support page because you can easily locate 30 to 40 good tools to improve your usage experience from here. This page is kind of long, so I have broken it off to 2 slides. Here you can see the top part with a few key selections circled. On the top left-hand side, you can see a search field. This is very, very useful because if you're looking for some information but are not certain of where to find it within WPG support page, you can come to the search field. The rest of this top part contains useful selections like flashes and alerts, collection of tech notes, support technical exchange, download, documentation. Slide number 6 contains the bottom half of the WPG support page. Let's move to slide number 6 here. Again, you can find numerous useful links here, leading you to important WPG tools. Now let's move to slide number 7. Next on the agenda, I have selected a few got-to-know tools from the support page, since we won't be able to go over all of them in this presentation. The selected items will provide you solid understanding of the WPG product and where to get help when needed. Slide number 8. We will be discussing flashes and alerts, Westfield Support Technical Exchange. This is what we call WSTE and open microphone. Download, documentation, system requirements, take notes by index or search, must gather, education assistance, forms and communities. Most of those items can be selected from the WPG support page. But for the ones you need to navigate down to the lower levels, I will provide the path. Slide number 9. We will start with flash and alerts. This is a place for important messages from WPG support to you. Whenever there are problems or scenarios with high impact or pervasive nature, WPG Support Center will post flashes and alerts here. It is very important that you get in the habit of browsing this field so you can be up to date on important news about WPG. This is kind of like reading news headlines. On slide number 10, Westfield Support Technical Exchange and open microphone. Today's presentation actually is what we will call a WSTE. This is our ongoing effort to have webcast communication with customers. WSTE has more of a static format. The product experts will present a topic of interest to broad audience through a teleconference. And at the end of the presentation, the audience will have a chance to ask questions. However, open microphone is another format of technical exchange. Open microphone is more like a virtual user group meeting. A panel of experts would have an open forum type of discussion of specific topic. Users can pre-submit questions or ask a live questions right on the spot. There's a lot of interaction during open mic, and the customers can have quite a lot of time to clarify their questions over product usage. This type of technical exchange cuts down on the travel need to receive product education, and you can utilize the replay function to repeat any past presentations to make sure you master the knowledge taught during the technical exchange. Please note that WSTE and open mic presentations are free to you, and no registration is needed. You just need to dial in to join the teleconference at a specified time. And the replay is available to you 24/7. Let's move to slide 11. Over the year, WPG support staff have put out quite a few technical exchange sessions. On this slide, I have listed the presentations from year 2009 in a reverse order, starting with the more recent ones. You can see on the top, in November 2009, we had our first open mic session, and it covered troubleshooting WTX, BPE, and EDI. The ones that might be immediately useful to you as a new user are the do-it-yourself problem determination WSTE and the performance tuning. You can find more from the tab of previous webcasts. and search for Westia Partner Gateway. On slide number 12, on this slide, we will be discussing download fixed tag. This is where you will get the WPG service tag, or some users call it maintenance code. In IBM, there is a central place to store those fixed tags. It is called Fix Central. However, if you start with WPG support page, the link here will take you to Fix Central, so you do not have to memorize the Fix Central link. It is a good idea to always access tools or information from the WPG support page. You can also download the fixed tags by version, and this is actually my recommendation. After you click on the fixed tag by version, the next page will break down the WPG fixed tags by release and then what fixed tags are available from each release. During your usage, from time to time, to resolve an issue, you might have to upgrade to the latest service level, and this is where you get the code. Slide number 13. On this slide, we will discuss the product documentation. I often call documentation the ambassador of the product. Always have the documentation at your fingertip. Again, here you can see the documentation is broken down by release. The two formats you'll be using most often are the info centers and the product documentation in PDF format. Info center is an interactive online format that you do not need to download it to your system, but you do need internet connection to be using and searching function within. The advantage of PDF format is you can download and read it or print it later, even when you no longer have access to the copy on internet. Some other helpful information listed here are the announcement letters with product features and the data sheet. You can see on the top that circle with red. You can get to the documentation page by entering through the documentation link at the root of the WPG support page, and then from the middle right box, choose the product documentation. I'd like to make a note here. From time to time, the links from the support page can be reorganized, so it is easier or more intuitive to users. But for people who are used to the old path, it can cause confusion. My suggestion to you is if you land on some page that you are not familiar with because it has been rearranged, just take a few seconds to browse through the new layout, and you generally can find the items you're looking for. On slide number 14, next two slides, we'll discuss system requirements. You can access system requirements from the product documentation page. It is one of the selections on the left-hand side column. Why is this information important? This page has what has been tested and supported by WPG. It might not seem very important initially because users possibly made the assumption that WPG should work instantly with all operating system software, the maintenance level and all WASP releases and maintenance levels and the database too. So wait here, let's do the math. If you go by that assumption, we're easily talking about a few hundred combinations. It's a true challenge when it comes to currency support. With our testing hard work on this system requirements page, we're able to list out the releases, six-pack levels we have tested and can guarantee the performance. It is extremely important that while you plan your deployment or usage, you review this page first to make sure you have selected the combination that has been tested. Next, I will quickly go over how to use the information on this page. Let's move to slide number 15, take a quick look at how it actually looks like. I only took down a segment of the system requirement page because this section goes on for many pages. So on this slide, you see for WASP, it lists which fixed tags are supported. The information here should be read as the specific six-pack, not this six-pack and above. Okay, let me repeat that because several users miss the importance of how to read this page. I just want to make sure. So when you read the information on this page, don't read it. Do not read it as this six-pack and above. So let me give you some example. In other words, if the page states six-pack 21 is supported, it does not suggest six-pack 23 has been tested. Please stay with the specific level mentioned. If you're not certain, please call the support center and review the information with our service rep. On slide number 16, this page is like hitting a real treasure from our treasure chest. This is a techno index or search. Those technos are written by WPG support experts. Whenever we resolve usage problems, to make the resolution reusable, we document the tips and hints so the information is available to you without having to go through the potentially lengthy debug process. The index format is a rather recent enhancement to make it easier for you to access the right topic, the subcategories. I cannot stress enough of how useful those check notes are. It's like having a 24/7 product support to you without even talking to IBM service rep. This is a wealth of many user scenarios with answers. On slide number 17, I have compiled the tech notes by papers with the most frequent traffic from users. Let's start with WPG Migration Guide. The material in this guide is to provide much more details and hand-holding type of instruction to users who have to go through migration path. The next one is the WPG Tuning Guide. This is to educate users on the various parameters of WPG version 6.2 components. It covers database tuning, virtual machine settings, network settings, file system by operating system, operating system settings, WAS, and WPG settings. Please note on slide 11, one of the WSGE from year 2009 is based on this tuning guide. The next one is the troubleshooting guide. This guide can become one of your favorite guides. It is an excellent collection of usage tips by different WPG components. It has troubleshooting information about installation, migration, transport protocol, archiver, WTX, runtime errors, validation errors, exceptions, and administration. Again, on slide number 11, I have mentioned a WSGE with problem determination. It can be used in conjunction with this white paper. The last one is the update installer guide. It has specific information on how update installer works with WPG. Slide number 18. The next two slides, we'll go over MustGather. MustGather is actually a techno, and the reason why I include this particular techno is because it is one of the most important technos you will ever need. When you contact the WPG Support Center, often you'll be referred to this techno because it contains what is needed for us to move to the next stage of problem determination without multiple requests of different files from you. I find this techno useful because it lists out how to collect various pieces of information, how to set login tracing levels, and where the logs are. Sometimes during the collection of the MustGather data, users spot the error messages or exceptions, and with the combination of the search results from the tech notes and the troubleshooting guide, our users can do a very successful job in self-diagnosing the root cause of the problem. So here's the formula. MustGather, techno, plus techno search, plus the troubleshooting guide will cut down significantly on your time spent in search of answers when you run into a problem. The must get a page is kind of long, so I put it in two slides here. Slide number 19 is another part of the must gather information. Actually, this must gather document probably go on for another two slides, but I only took the top part to get a feel of what it actually contains. You can see it lists out specific commands and how to set the login, where to get the logs. So this is an excellent take note. Now let's move on to slide number 20. Education assistant. Here on the slide I put down, this is your free online education. This link is at the bottom half of the WPG support page. Once you get to the education assistant, you should expand the tree structure on the left-hand side so you can see the next branches by release. Here's a collection of instructor-led recording of education sessions. It is available to you 24/7. For example, for WPG 6.2, currently we have overview, archiver, enhancement, new features, SFTP, smart migration, and WGX topics. Some of the sessions from the previous releases can be used as well for 6.2 users, since they have not been changed. To use the education assistant, an info center could truly provide you the first step education if you're not able to travel to any WPG classes. Those sessions come with recording and slides. Slide number 21. Finally, we come to the forums and community. This is a channel to share knowledge with other users and experts. When you post questions on WPG forums, other users who have had answers or experience to the same questions can post what has worked for them and help you to move forward. This is a good way to interact virtually with the highly skilled product experts within and outside IBM. Let's move to slide number 2. There are some support terminologies I would like to mention here so you don't get lost when the terms are strong to you when you work with IBM support staff, because we're so accustomed to those terms we don't even think of it when we start talking about them, and we just assume that you should know those things. So I made a table here for you to just quickly get accustomed to what those terms are, so when we converse, it will make sense to you. So let's move to slide number 23. PMR, this is the first one. What is a PMR? It stands for Problem Management Record. This is your ticket with IBM. In other words, when you call the toll-free number or open a problem record electronically, you will get a number back. This number represents the PMR. APAR, it stands for Authorized Problem Analysis Report. Generally, after the problem has been analyzed, if we can identify there's a code defect, our support staff would suggest opening an APAR. The term APAR is called APAR. That indicates there could possibly be a code fix from the problem. Or you can be referred to an existing APAR from another PMR. This is like a bug record with code change to track the final resolution of the problem. Next one is severity. I personally think the severity, the way the number goes, is a little bit confusing, so we're going to go over this here. Severity, this is your communication to IBM about how severe the problem is impacting your business. We receive many tickets every day, and it is important to IBM that we provide timely assistance to you. So the severity goes from 1 to 4, with 1 being the highest impact. So 4 is not the highest one. 4 is more like you saying, it's a problem, but I can wait. When you get to it, give me some resolution. Okay. Or to set proper severity can help your satisfaction from how fast the problem is being worked out. Okay, next one, let's check it. I fix. This is interim fix. In other words, when you have an APA open, if a fix is provided, then it will be an interim fix, an iFix. And once IBM has a certain number of iFixes, we generally put a collection of iFixes through a bigger test bucket to make sure they all work well together so we can release something called FP or Fix Pack. This is a cumulative set of fixes. The goal is to save you time and trouble from having to apply multiple iFixes. The next one is AOS, Assistant Side. This is a real-time debug session, and it is most helpful when you have a difficulty in uploading the MustGather data to IBM or when the problem cannot be recreated by WPG support staff. With the plugin for AOS, our support staff can observe the failure on your machine and work on data. White paper, we mentioned this earlier. This is just a term used for text or PDF format of technical documents. On slide number 24. Next, we'll discuss end-of-support information. I know it is hard to think about end-of-support because you just purchased the software. But it is important that I bring this to your attention now so you continue to remember it in the next several years of using the product. And you're going to ask why. Why do we want to talk about this? Let's move to slide number 25. To have the product and the support date can help you to have better business planning so you do not run the risk of not having IBM product support. The date can also help you to set a realistic migration deployment schedule. Without such planning, you might run into usage problem and then not having any sufficient help from IBM support experts. Knowing the end of support date could also motivate you to be up to date on the information about new features from the latest release so you can continue to take advantage of the enhancements of WPG. The end of support information can be obtained from the WPG support page. At the right-hand side, you expand the overview, and you will see software support lifecycle. Next, you will choose WSSIA, and you will get to a page with all the WAS family products. WPG is one of them. I took a screenshot of how it looks. Let's move to the next slide, slide number 26, so you can take a look at how it actually looks. Here you will see for each WPG edition, we broke it down by release. And if the release has an EOS date, it will be listed. As I mentioned, this is not something that you will be concerned right after the purchase of WPG, but please do know how you can access this information when you need it. Let's move to slide number 27. In this presentation, I have covered the tools available to enhance your usage experience right after the purchase of WPG. I have put in great focus on do-it-yourself recommendation tools, just so the usage tips and problem resolutions can be at your fingertips. My goal is for you to have close communication with WPG support without even picking up the phone. You practically have all the information needed from WPG support page. I'd like to conclude the presentation with this statement. Be a web smart user. In a couple of minutes, you will have a chance to provide evaluation on this presentation. And please review the content from a new user's perspective and provide feedback on whether this can help new WPG users. On slide number 28, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WSSIA products. Developer Works offers in-depth technical information. The event link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit wasia.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and review PMRs online, and the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Now I will turn the presentation back to our moderator, Joseph.
Thank you, IG, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Marsha, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Mr. Chuck Chang from CarQuest, your line is open.
Hi, I have several questions. My first question is, when IBM released an addition or put it on the system requirement page, I mean, what kind of test does IBM usually perform? I mean, is it more like a functional test or there is like some performance testing? Well, the reason I'm asking is that if IBM doesn't do performance testing per se, I mean, I have to do that in-house in order to prove that the new release is a stable version. I mean, do you have any idea or insight that can share with us?
Yes. I'm not a tester for WPG,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to answer that from a general viewpoint
mm-hmm.
based on my exposure.
Mm-hmm.
When we release things to the system requirement page, it's not just functional tests, because when I mention functional tests, I think of something that's very basic.
Mm-hmm.
When we release things to system requirement page, it has lots of integration tests,
mm-hmm.
and also that's what we call system tests. System tests has more of a user's environment type of testing, not just a function. Function is more like between development and test, it's immediate step, but when we release those system requirement information on the page, it will go through full-blown testing.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what does full-blown entail. So how about like performance? Do you think the lab will put any load on it?
We will do performance testing, but okay. It's different from doing benchmark. If you're thinking about benchmark is quite specific type of testing. So when we release system requirement, we will compare that to previous version to see a previous six-pack or different operating system to see how it works.
Okay.
Yes. And we don't put things in system requirement page unless we are certain. And once it's on the page, we back it. That is why I really want users to stay with what is listed there, because it's like when you buy a product, there's guarantee paper. The system requirement page is your guarantee to say, it should work, it will work. If you have problem, we will make it work. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's leading to my second question. I mean, I know we should follow the system requirements, you know, to lay out my architecture. However, I mean, just do some reality check. Some of the components are really not under the middleware team's control. For example, in WPG 6111, I mean, you list AIX 5.3 technology level 4, but actually the system administrator in my company upgraded to technology level 10. And there are some other requirements, like the database team want to use DB2 version 9.5 or Oracle 11. It's not in the support list, and I cannot control that. So how would you recommend I resolve this situation?
I actually very much like the fact that you brought it up in this Q&A session, because
okay.
I would like our system requirement page to have the latest.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if we do that, I think you probably question how thorough we have tested. Like, how could you be so quick and put it up on the web page that you supported? But at the same time, I would like our system requirement page to be more current. Even if it's not at the latest, I would like it to be more current. And whenever the system requirement page does not have what you like to be more current, I would like you to contact IBM Marketing, whoever you purchase the software from. And I'm not saying this just to send you away, because marketing has a big say, a great say in IBM on what customers want. If you go back and say, I really need WPG to support this, open a request for me. And they will go to development directly. Because if you come to my center, we will work with you, but it's different kind of way. Marketing, they bring in revenue to IBM. You are someone who is purchasing the software. If you go to marketing and say, I want this, you need to make it support this combination. The marketing rep will push it for you. And it's very important that you stay with that path, because you do have a say, and it's IBM development wants to hear from you.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I don't think I complain about the updates or of the page. I think my question is more about the reality. I mean, there is some like peripheral product that's not really under the middleware team's control, and so you're suggesting that if I want to have a different combination that's not stated in the requirement, instead of the requirement page, I should contact the marketing team.
I want to give an example here, because about 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
the marketing rep, IBM marketing rep, came in and say they would like WPG to support the next release, which was not listed at that time
mm-hmm.
as a supported platform. And because the marketing rep made a case, a business case, saying we have so much revenue involved, and we really need WPG to support that platform, that release, then we work in our development, and it happened. So instead of looking at the system requirement page and get frustrated saying they are not doing this, they are not doing that, I would like to encourage you to take a more active role to submit your request and have your marketing rep push it for you. It will happen. You just need to make a business case so we understand the impact on your operation.
Yeah, but I'm more like a technician here. So is there a different channel that I can contact IBM support in order to make the request? I mean, if I have to go through the marketing channel, that I have to escalate it, and the higher management have to discuss, and it really takes a lot of time. And finally, the work will come to me, which I have to work with the development team. So I'm wondering, I mean, is there a shortcut or something? What's the turnaround? How long would it take, you know, for, so given, well, assuming that to make a business case, okay, assume that we generate sufficient avenue for IBM, okay, in order to make the move. So what's the turnaround? I mean, how long do we expect to see the lab will verify a new combination?
I think it depends on, and this is my part in life, it's the true business case. I think it depends on the scope of the request, whether it's a new release for the operating system or it's just a fixed pack going up one level. And I'm thinking here, you probably don't have access to the marketing rep easily. I want to get you connected with our product manager so you can send him feedback for specific combination, and he will work with development to prioritize it, to see how many customers are requesting that or how severe it is to impact the product usage. Would that be okay?
I mean, what if I don't get, I don't have a good business case in that sense?
That's why I want to encourage you to come up with every single bit of detail to help IBM to see the business case.
Okay.
And you might have bigger business case than you think.
Thanks for that information, but I do have the third question. I noticed that when I apply iFace on WPG, the procedure, well, just so far I'm looking at it, they are 28824. That's the latest iFace for WPG 611. However, the patching strategy is dramatically different from other web server products which use this update installer. For WPG, for some reason, it asked me to update a jar file directly through the WAS admin console. I mean, I think it imposed some difficulty when I report my, you know, all the fixes that get installed or get applied on my environment. I mean, would WPG team consider, you know, modernize it, or is the thing you would still go on? I mean, IBM will support IFIX this way for some time.
Let me summarize what you're asking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure. You're saying you're in 611?
Yeah.
And the way the fix strategy is implemented is different from 6.2 update installer. And it's not as clear cut as update installer, so you're having to manage it on your own.
Okay, so in 6.2 uses update installer to apply fix. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
And
yeah.
That method has a general file called fix history. And
mm-hmm, yeah.
The reason why we implemented is because we have heard so much feedback from customers
mm-hmm.
about they really get really confused after 3, 4, 5 fixes, IFIXes,
mm-hmm.
and they want us to help them to manage it. And
yeah.
That's why we use Update Installer. And
okay.
It's implemented on 6.2. And on one of the slides, it mentioned where to get Update Installer information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with Update Installer. I'm just a little bit concerned that if we still use this jar file to update WPG code, I mean, sooner or later, it gets very confusing. And especially, there's a standard way to back it out, unless I keep the old version of the jar file.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay, so that's all my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chef.
Our next question comes from Arun Kumar. Your line is going to be open. Your line is open now, sir.
On the slide number 23, I need some more information about the APAR.
APAR. Yes. What is your what is your question?
My knowledge, APAR is a kind of a patches. It's a record for the fix pack update. And this slide is something updated like it's for authorized program analysis report, a defect or bug record to track the progress of the code fix. And can you tell me, so once again, about the APAR?
Yes.
The APAR.
Yes. Sometimes after you open the ticket, the PMR, the analyst, our service rep, if we can narrow it down and believe there's a code defect, a bug in our product, then at that moment, we probably suggest let's open something called APAR, and then you'll be given a number associated with APAR. And it's not 100% that you have APAR, you will have a fix, but that means you're closer to a fix. We are more certain the problem could be a bug. And then we continue to work on it, and I would say more often it will turn out to be a bug once we open an APAR, but sometimes the APAR could turn out to be hot. It's a usage situation, or it's a documentation, or it's a design issue. But to have an APAR will move you closer to the step of having a code fix. Does that make it clear? That's right.
Yeah.
Instead of saying APAR is to give you fix, I'm saying it's to track the progress of the code fix.
Okay.
The progress could turn out to be it's a design issue. This is how we design for it to work. Or it's a documentation. We just need to make the documentation more clear to users. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I got it. It's a kind of code fix or bug fix, right?
Yes. It's just a record to keep track of our progress in terms of fixing it.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I currently have no questions.
Thank you, Marsha. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.